I'll deal with it. The things I go through for the show.
What the f*** is going on down there?
It's number 330 on WTF-TFW. I'm Evangelist, and Aaron over here is feeling super happy.
Yeah, that was fighting for Rhyme's game very hard.
No, it ran pretty smooth. Double yo?
Because that's what the kids say, right?
That's right. I'm doing that thing with my hand, and I got my hat on sideways. What are you doing to be cool?
I got a tattoo.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh, man.
I still have moments of, like, I got a tattoo, huh?
Do you ever have the thing where you catch it out of the corner of your eye and you don't remember it's a tattoo and you think, like, just something is on your arm?
I had one of those early in the morning because it's just enough that it's like, oh, yeah.
Blue? What? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Also with us today is TJ Omega. Did you get secret inked since the last podcast?
Not that I'm aware.
Because you wouldn't really know if it's, like, in the small of your back and no one, like, tells you.
Well, yeah, like, in the middle of the night, someone gave me a tramp stamp or something.
Of my face. Someday I'm gonna do that someday to someone. That would be amazing. Well, not for them, but, you know, it'd be a talking point for a while. We're here to talk to you today about Transformers. And I want to kick it off by just talking a little bit about the currently louder than usual buzzing rumor mill about Transformers, not about me. I don't have a rumor mill. I dealt with that leak a while ago.
Yeah, you do. They've just gotten better at hiding it from you.
Do they? Listen, that was settled out of court, and, you know, all parties involved are satisfied with the resolution, so maybe you all should just be more mature about it. We got rumors. Now, there's a rumor earlier on that I didn't actually have. It's linked in the thing in the topic list about a Leader Class Ultra Magnus, which is one of them rumors that comes off of a Toys R Us computer, if I recall correctly. Not necessarily Toys R Us. But there's a listing for a possible Leader Class Ultra Magnus. And that was built upon to some degree. But the new rumor that has a couple sources, and if you're checking out the front page post, it took me a second to figure it out. You got to click on the words "to" and "separate." Those link to the posts that actually talk about the rumors. That there is going to be a Combiner Wars Titan class Devastator. That is the current rumor. That's the kind of thing that we're going to know come February, one way or another, because February is Toy Fair, and they're probably going to talk about it at Toy Fair if it is actually happening. One of these posts is someone saying he can confirm it's happening, but will be sold as a single unit, not separate pieces, which works if it's Titan class. The second post comes from Vanksta, who also has an implication in there that I very much agree with, which is he opens his post by saying, "Since people are posting info I gave them in private, I'll list what I know exactly about Titan Devastator." So here's the thing. If someone tells you about a thing, right, and they tell you in private, what you should do is ask him if it's okay for you to talk about it publicly before you start posting about it publicly. That's how you both build sources and keep sources.
Uh-huh.
His last sentence says it all, where he says, "And please don't send me PMs for more info or asking about other figures yet to be revealed. People have shown they can't keep info I send by private messages private." Those are the words of a potential source who is tired of people sharing what he's told them in private. It's a simple science. I know how tempting it can be to want to, like, hint at stuff you know. But if it's something that was literally told to you in a private message or in a private email, it is really better form to at least confer somewhat with that person about what can be said publicly. Or, you know, after having done so long enough, have the wherewithal to know what you can actually say that would be hinting without compromising the person who gave you the info, or the person who gave that person the info. See y'all out there in the listenership, you know, all, like, 20 of you know. That's a better way to go about it, in my opinion. But, going by Vanksta's post, what he is aware of, and he says, take it with a grain of salt, and please, everyone, take this all with a grain of salt, is that it would be 6 Voyager-sized Constructicons in a box, It would be more expensive than Metroplex, obviously, but he's not sure how it would possibly match Metroplex's size himself. There's no prowl involved that he's aware of, but don't rule it out. Because, like you said, take it all with a grain of salt. So that's the info. Aaron, you've every now and then been, you know, dipping your ear into the grapevine, as it were. How do you feel about the situation, both of the rumors and the potential of a Titan Devastator?
The rumors, it's stuff that's getting more noise now. I'm still never quite sure. Even sources that are trusted sometimes, because as Vengsta was saying, what he saw was all Voyager size, but was that final? Are they all meant to be deluxe size, and they were just looking at two ups and wasn't said, or whatever? And it's always like once you start seeing it, like the Ultra Magnus one was, where it's in a computer, which means that that's information that Hasbro has said, yes, we are going to be selling this thing. It is going to be in this price point. Here's our UPCs that we've reserved for it to get it into the systems. That's further down that line. And I think as a Titan, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at Metroplex that stands taller than my trash can. I don't necessarily know if I want another toy quite that big.
Well, I'm thinking that going off of what Vengsta is implying from what he's saying, he's seen, I'm taking that as it's probably less about height and just more about price point and component count.
Right.
And it's, I think it's more just like Titan is now the catch-all for this is the expensive box.
Yeah, Titan is going to be the big box. And even, I mean, even if he only comes up to the middle of his chest, that's still pretty big. And six Voyagers is a lot of mass. And at the new Voyager price point, that'd be $150-ish dollar toy. Maybe less because everybody's saying that it's only going to be sold in one thing. So maybe $125, buy five, get the six for free type thing.
I'd expect $150 for six Voyagers myself.
Yeah.
I'd almost say I hope that that's the case if it's happening, so that there is maybe a budget buffer to allow for some leeway, so they aren't like six individual Voyager constrained figures.
Yeah,
you know, like that way, like maybe a simpler one. Yeah,
that would be the one nice thing about having it sold as a set, that maybe some of them can be their own thing as well, so that they can get remolds out of it. But maybe they can have some bits and pieces that are like, look, this is kind of big for the size, this is kind of small for the size, and across everything. It works.
But, yeah, like, you know, if Long Haul, for instance, like, he's at his core a much simpler toy than some of the other ones could be.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, take Long Haul or Mixmaster, they're a simpler toy, but then, you know, that extra budget they're not using would get bumped over to other members of the set, since it's hopefully operating as a unit of six rather than six individual units of money. Yeah. But, like, this is the dangerous speculation, is now I'm, like, waving my hands around about a thing that may not exist.
Yeah,
based on like the barest of data. But TJ Omega, how do you feel about the idea of this rumor? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I'm really interested to get more info, just because I'm not quite sure how it pans out yet. I mean, I understand like Titan might be a catch-all, but you know, we've got Devastators that that are at Voyager size. So, you know, you look at Hercules, you see how big that is, and it's not even remotely close to Metroplex's size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these days, you know, it's not necessarily the catch-all term, because we just got a platinum set of Prime and Sideswipe.
And a trailer I think it's a Masterpiece trailer?
Yeah, it's the Masterpiece trailer repainted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That whole set is like, I can't even fathom how that set came together. I can't, like, it doesn't make any sense. That's,
yeah.
I think that's
a $200 price point on that thing.
I think it's safe to say, like, in general, like, to think of Titan class as a descriptor of size rather than a descriptor of parts count, is probably a mistake. Like, don't look at Metroplex thinking, oh, it'll be as tall as him. Because also, Metroplex is super thin and hollow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for what he's not, like, visually super thin and hollow, like, super thin, but if you actually have one, it's not hard to figure out how he got so tall, because he stretches his material up.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah, it's not the most complex of figures, let's be honest here.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got thin legs, and they're tall, and long, and hollow, and he's got a lot of empty space in him. Not that that's a bad thing, but that's just how he pulls off, I think, getting to that height. And I wouldn't want a Devastator to be fixated on being tall. That's my whole... That's one of the things that kind of turns me off of the TFC approach right now. We were just talking about that, like, 2 weeks ago. Like, going for height over all other things in a combiner.
Yeah. And not to mention that, if you're going for a combiner that big, it's gotta be big, chunky, and solid.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight that's gonna have to hold up, even under modern Voyager standards.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And also... Because, like, you know, now that this rumor's out there, there is rampant speculation. There are people building this up in their head. There are people building it down in their heads. And obviously, comparing it to the two Devastators on the unofficial market, just conceptually and how it might turn out, I would really caution to just, like, talk about it. But don't create too much of an image in your head, because whatever you're thinking it's going to be or not be is probably in some way going to lead you to be disappointed if A, it's real, and B, it gets revealed in February. Like, mm-hmm. You know, end of the day, we have very little data to operate on, and all of it is grain of salt and might end up being nothing. This might have been a prototyped test shot-y kind of thing. Not even test shot, like, you know, the pre-test shot phase. Like, it might be a big kitbash thing that may or may not have gotten shut down.
For all we know, someone that Hasbro just had a Hercules sitting around.
Could have been that. I
don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not discounting the validity of people's sources, but I mean, one of the main sources is literally saying, take this with a grain of salt. I saw some stuff, but, you know, Vangsta is a smart dude. And he's implying, and I very much agree with it, like, you know, if you see something that behind the scenes, there's a chance that that's where it will remain for a good long time. So... it's cool that the rumor's getting out. It's cool that we have a rumor mill existing and that it's not just literally pictures of toys out of factories. Like, there's something strangely more honest about a rumor mill. But, you know, at the end of the day, don't get too invested in it, because you're going to be spending a whole lot of energy for kind of nothing. Because we're all going to know one way or another within a couple of months. So...
In a way, I think that the rumor mill generates a lot more excitement because you have so many people speculating.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean...
There is a sense that it's actually a bit more fun than just here's a toy.
The rough thing then still is occasionally you do get the person that is like, well, he tell me.
You know, my sources.
Yeah, the guy that I know that works for Hasbro told me that all of them you'll be able to turn into a hat as well.
And this gets back to my whole point of, like, if you have sources, please respect your sources and don't use them as a means of being the cooler person. Like, if someone's on the boards arguing that their source is right and you're going to see how right they are, then, number one, they're probably not very, you know, they're not having a good relationship with that source, clearly. Because they're touting it as such an object rather than a person. And two, back when Armada came out, there was a guy who was yelling about that stuff. And then Aaron Archer showed up and said, no, he's wrong. And the guy said, you'll all see! And then when the Armada toys got revealed, that guy disappeared from the internet forever. So,
yeah,
you know, sometimes if you see the crazy person waving their arms around saying that they've seen the sky, like... After a point, just leave them alone, because you're going to know in a few months if they actually saw this guy or not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, please respect your sources. As someone who loves the idea of sources in a rumor mill, like, I don't want to see a whole lot of potential sources just go like, well, these bunch of scumbags are just going to tell everyone what I said and just walk away. You know, don't ruin the game. Weird to say it that way. But that's some rumor mill. So, we'll see. Combiner Wars is on its way. Did you guys see they finally put up that designer desk from, like, San Diego Comic-Con or, you know, the SummerCon circuit?
Yeah.
You mean the one where everyone's just staring at the combiners in the background, not the ones they're talking about?
Yeah. When they put that up, I was like, I thought it was a new one, and then when I was watching it, I was like, but they put this up already. I forgot that every copy of it up till now had been a bootleg that was, like, recorded off of a projector screen. So that video is properly out there now, and yeah, that's the one where everyone was like, I see a Devastator back there. So if people want to see that in better quality, it's out there. There's a couple things about it that are a little, like, I don't know if I were in their position if I would have actually released it, because that was shot, like, early 2014. They're clearly playing with test shots. There's a point where you can see John Warden kind of glancing at Superion a few times because the shoulder connection wasn't working.
Yeah.
There's a shot where Menasor looks terrible because he's a test shot. A lot of people are also trying to read motivation into Josh Lamb's generally relaxed face. And I was on Twitter saying, like, I interviewed him a year or so ago. That's just what he's like. He's not
just a relaxed person.
He's not trying to convey that he's pained to be associated with the franchise. He's not showing a lack of passion for what he does. That is just literally how he talks.
He couldn't possibly be doing something relaxing like playing with a toy or anything.
Because he's like, this is the new combiner class Menasor kind of thing. And he's got, you know, kind of just tired look in his eyes. This is what he looks like. Like, I can understand, you know, someone coming in just seeing that, getting a little worried. But I can assure you that that's not, like, some statement he's making about his position on the work he's doing. That is literally what I have seen him look like at every con he's been to. But that video's out there, and I kind of wish that they'd shot a new one. There's a whole lot about that video that comes off as it is a very rushed video to production.
Or at least the B-roll-y stuff of them playing with the toys.
God,
Because there's one where it looks like his whole shoulder piece got rotated back, but that's the insert photo they use. A classic case of, we just hire photographers that may or may not understand that these are toys.
It must have been done in a rush, because there are so many times where I'm watching this thing from a slightly different perspective now, but, like, there are a lot of points where I'm sitting there going, like, that was your only take? Like, it looks like they just, like, shot it one and done and just, like, passed it to an editor and went, like, make 90 seconds ASAP. And it doesn't look like there's much to work with. Like, that whole thing feels like it was a rush production. But maybe it cost a lot to make, and thus they've got to put it up there to get their money's worth. I don't know. But I'd like for them to make another one. It still had my favorite part, though, when they're showing that turnaround of the aerial bots and power glides just way off in the back, and it looks like the other five are just ignoring them.
Yeah.
It's hey, guys!
That fits well with our established fiction, so.
Yeah. Oh, there's power glide. Ugh.
God, what? Just because he has wings.
No, guys, I'll turn into a gun! I'll turn into a gun!
Trax has got wings. He does his own thing. I don't know why. God. Oh, here he comes.
He wants to combine with us. He's just going to turn into a gun. We just have to hold him. He thinks that's combining. It's fine. Let's let him do it. I'm a part of Superion, guys. Yeah, you are. Welcome, Power Glide. Congratulations. That Combiner Wars stuff, it sounds like Robot Kingdom's going to have it next month.
I'd like to see all the other toys that are in the pipeline show up before these do.
Yeah, what have we got? We got RC and Chromie. Oh, no, they're showing up.
Yeah.
So we got Brainstorm, which has to still hit mass retail.
Okay, I haven't seen any of those. I haven't seen the last wave of the movie line, because
there is stacks of that last wave over here in Toronto, I can tell you.
Yeah, you're talking the Stegosaurus?
Yeah, I have seen tons of him, Lockdown, and Hotshot.
Okay.
Not seen any of those here.
You guys, like, I'm saying this, but I'll also say that the current price of Transformers Deluxe is here is also horrible.
Well, yeah, I know.
If I were to say to try to mule one for someone, it would be just shy of $20 before shipping. And I'm not sure you should be paying that for Snarl. But, no, I've seen that the last AOE wave, at least in Canada, has been making the rounds. And in America, someone found RC and Chromia already.
Yeah.
So at least, like, they're in warehouses.
Yeah. I think it's doubling up on the classic last wave of the line oftentimes just gets lost because somebody overordered the first or second wave.
Yeah, I think the only thing at real risk right now is Brainstorm. Like RC and Chromia and that last AOE wave in some parts of America probably will be hard to find, but if you just, you know, get the word out and, you know, get to your network of contacts that you may or may not have, just put the word out on the boards. I think it's reasonable to think that a lot of people can get what they're looking for if they just keep active in the now. But I really hope that Brainstorm comes out to shelves and is better than mine. That's the thing I'm waiting to see. But with Combiner Wars coming out, at least Robot Kingdom having it come mid-December, you guys think we might see it on shelves somewhere? maybe e-shelves somewhere before January?
Maybe. I could potentially see some stores, depending on how smooth the pipeline is, like that last desperate stock restock just before Christmas or something.
Yeah. I got fingers crossed, because I really want to play with those toys. Like, I want to know how they work. I'm super intrigued by them. I almost ordered them off Robot Kingdom, because they were basically Canadian retail, but then I got to the shipping part where it would have been, like, $50 to ship after paying Canadian retail, and I was like, I don't want them that much. That would have been for, like, the 4 Deluxes and 2 Voyagers, and I was like, oh, if it was, like, $30 to ship, I would probably bite the bullet, but, and then I, you know, actually went to bed, and I stopped being bleary-eyed and too tired. Anyway, Combiner Wars is coming, and we'll talk about that more. Once there's actual toys in hand to see. Let's talk about some new picture picks. Aaron, have you got a picture picked out?
Hey, I was going to talk about the designer desk thing, but you went ahead and did that.
Well, do you have more to say about it? Because we can...
No, you covered a lot of it. I was going to mention the stuff that we saw in the background and trying to suss out that, but you mentioned that. What's the multicolor, the like bright blue...
That's a defensor.
No. There's a defensor up with Devastator, but there's something big and chunky underneath that.
Oh
god,
you see it at like second 13.
Hang on. Well, now I'm gonna open the video and go looking, so now we are talking about this thing. Okay, is it the thing under the two of them?
Yeah.
Looks like a
That looks like a multicolored test shot of an AoE Optimus Prime. Like, it looks like the Sword of Judgment. I see the shield.
Oh,
the backpack.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's just like in funny colors.
All right. And just with the way everything else was kind of staged with a boxed jet fire in there for whatever reason.
The whole thing looks like a rush, man. Like, everything about this video looks rushed.
But no, that was about the only other thing out of whatever I would say.
Well, I want to throw in quickly. I think John Warden is really good in these videos. Like the other guy, the one on the left who used to work for G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good designer desk video speaker. Like, he's kind of charismatic. He's got a good voice for it. He's got a little bit of energy to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of him in these videos. He's a really good face for the design team. Like, I don't know, speaking just from the point of view of someone who might be making a video like this, like, my brain in that mode is going, like, this John Warden guy needs to be on, like, the thumbnail image, looking all intent and passionate about what he's doing. So hire me. Thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know, anything else, I guess, do you want a picture pick then?
Give me a moment.
I can give you a moment. I can tell you guys all about how I finally got my toilet fixed.
Okay. I was saying, like, maybe go to TJ while I see if there's anything else on the kind of sparse front page for the last week.
By the way, the front page for the last week is literally the front page. You don't have to click back from there.
Yeah.
So TJ, have you got a new picture pick?
I was going to go with the new in-hand shots of the AD-31.
I'd like to talk about that. I just paid for mine.
How did that bill look?
I paid $64 for him. I feel okay Hooray. About that. I don't know. I think it looks fancy enough.
A friend of mine was just telling me is that he finally bit the bullet on this one because he really liked all the new stuff they had put on it. And I give Takara credit. It's like old school Takara where they just went nuts on the paint job and it looks way better.
And yeah, I mean, they added, like, what, $10-$15 to the price point and used that for new parts and paint, because they can.
Yeah.
Like, that's how their version of the marketplace works. They're allowed to do that. I think it looks great myself.
Also, no unnecessary chrome.
I freaking love the chest deco. That looks like sex. Like, I want, and it's all like that, it looks like it's all in the style of, like, that really good silver paint that gets used sometimes on Transformers. And, like, this thing looks gorgeous! I can't believe it's weird to say this, because the toy is not amazing, but I still kind of like it. But I'm kind of amazed that this is only 6,000 and a half yen. Like, I feel like this looks like a 7,000, 8,000 yen toy. Maybe it is, and I just got a discount, I can't remember anymore.
But. Well, we know when that happens, you know, you get things like, you know, giant rifle packs and all kinds of extra stuff.
Yeah, they confined this to just the toy. Like, they made him some new accessories, but they didn't, like, make him a big, crazy, like, here's where the budget went kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, that frigging, the head sculpt. Oh, it looks good.
Both of them.
Yeah, it's the way they, like, on the faceplate down one, those eyes are just, like, piercing.
Why don't they do this to, like, every Prime toy?
It probably costs a bunch to have, like, you know, that's taking a head, changing it from a two-piece thing to, like, one, two, three, four, five or six pieces. So I can understand how they wouldn't want to.
It'd almost be worth it.
I mean,
just for how many debates over the face and the faceplate go
for movie Prime? Yes.
For a Japanese toy movie Prime, yes. For any other combination of those things, no. Hasbro don't care. That's a whole lot of expense for a gimmick that no kid's gonna. Yeah, that's not what you remember about Optimus Prime, that he sometimes has a faceplate and sometimes doesn't.
I just like to have the faceplate up be the default rather than the faceplate down. Like, it's kind of nuts right now with all the evasion primes, it's like the sub-cataloging is which head sculpt does it use?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't dislike the faceplate down, but I mean, what's iconic, you know? I think this thing looks great, though. Because I like the Leader Class AoE Prime. I think it's a really good toy for a design that could not function as a toy otherwise. Like, considering, you know, what they're trying to do, that the only real thing he has weighing him down is that backpack, and it doesn't really get in the way of posing, like, I think it's impressive.
There's something about the gold paint on the underside of his chest. It's this weird smiley face is throwing me off.
Yeah, that's the face that looks at you before he takes yours. That's his real face. he flourishes that right before he kills his prey. Oh man, just they package him in the pose holding the big sword.
Yeah,
like, I think this is a gorgeous toy. Like, I'm not saying you all should go out and get it, because, you know, it's an aesthetic not everyone likes. It's not a toy everyone likes, but this is like, for this toy, this is like a Buster Prime upgrade for this toy. Even the vehicle mode looks great, man. Yeah.
It's fancy.
Yeah,
they went all out.
I really like this. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't remember. Did either of you get Leader Prime from AoE?
Yeah.
The good one?
Yeah, the good one.
Okay.
I didn't.
It's a fun toy. If you can get it for not, you know, $50, it's pretty fun.
On sale, it's a decent toy.
Yeah. It got a pretty bad rap when it came out, but, like, I was like, man, I think it's a better toy than Leader Grimlock by far. Like, it's just, I find it more playable.
Leader Grimlock I have not handled, so I cannot say.
He does, that toy also gets maybe too much of a bad rap, but his T-Rex mode is weird, and his robot mode is weird. But, I mean, I got mine in the Black Knight colors, and that helped a lot. The retail colors do that toy no favors. But, yeah, AD31, that's going to be in hand really soon. Well, TJ, are you thinking about looking into AD31?
No, I'm not the kind that goes in for upgrades. Like, I've got the AoE leader, and I'm okay with that.
You don't want to trade in your AoE for, like, $10, and then... Because that's probably what someone will pay it for. All right. Well, Aaron, we've given you a little bit of time here. Did you dig up something for your own new pick?
You know, beyond that, there's not really a whole lot. Base mode of the next masterpiece. Where did it go? I looked at it and then I closed the window.
Oh, Aaron, don't do that. I've done that.
Oh, yeah, it's gone. Man, I'm not having it tonight.
The base mode for Star, because I was like, base mode? What is he talking about?
I know what he's talking about.
I found it. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, the Star Saber base mode.
I think it's neat thing. There it is.
Yeah,
it's such a small thing that just.
I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, I think it's neat that it's in there. However, it's just he's kind of doing the splits, which I guess was the base mode the first time. So
yep.
It's like, oh, this will turn sideways, and it's pretty close to, like, what the Power Master Optimus Prime's base mode was better, though.
Yeah, no, it was.
Say that unequivocally.
But this is I call this less a base mode and just more like a turret.
Yeah.
I always called it less of a base mode and more of we stop transforming it halfway through.
I think that's probably the motivation for working it into the Masterpiece toy, because it probably wasn't hard to
It looks like just depending on how those knees work, it's just turn the knee sideways and point his arms.
Yeah. It's not pulling it off great, so it's definitely not engineered to do that.
Yeah.
I just wonder if maybe they added like a little handle or something in the back of like, well, if you're gonna do this, here's a little thing he can hold, so it's like he really means it.
But I still have to say Power Master Optimus Prime's base mode is far superior. The leg plates that fold out so you have...
I'd like to meet the person who disagrees with you. Like, who's the one who's actually going to go like, no!
Come in the thread, come after me, come
on. No, Star Saber's base mode is better because it's the colors of America. You know, the yellow and the American flag. Everyone knows that.
Hey.
What were you going to interject against him, the yellow on the American flag? Do you need a history lesson? Do you need a color chart? Surely I can find a Pantone book for you.
There's a gold trim on some American flags.
I once spilled some mustard on an American flag, okay? Star Saber's legitimate. This toy's out soon. This is eHobby taking their photos down here in one of the thumbnails.
Yeah.
I'm excited, man.
Because it was then that, and then the first time I kind of looked through the photos, I'm like, why do they have two of the same oh, wait a second, that's the old one, and then the...
Old one looks kind of better doing the space mode thing, I gotta say.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
But the old one, I think, must, you know... The old one... Does the old one just use the transformation joints in the knees? Or is that, like, an actual dedicated joint down there?
No, I don't. There's no dedicated joint to the original. It just happens to do that.
It just sits like that. It's pretty great.
I reviewed that toy, and I didn't even bother with that mode, because it's that obviously just... Oh. It kind of looks like something.
It's like all the secret modes of the Robots in Disguise Megatron from 2000.
Oh, yeah. When was it? Takara was even just sort of like, "Hey, we came up with 15 more. Cause why not?"
Yeah, yeah. It's got a ton of joints. We can do what I don't know.
It's true. I mean, it's a
flying monkey with a weird tail.
In the context that everything looks like it's made out of Gigatron, that toy is kind of open source.
Yeah,
like it's believable as here's an alien jet ski Gigatron learned how to turn into. I haven't played with that toy in a while.
I still have the Galvatron version sealed.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can you hawk that for...
I don't know.
For megabucks?
Probably not.
What I remember about that toy is going through all those modes loosens up the joints really fast.
My Car Robots one was pretty good, and I played with it a lot. Because back then, you could have the discussion about Japan's always better, and I'll just get that going again right here, because I don't really care. But I remember my Gigatron stood up to play really well. I even did clear nail polish coatings over all his vac metal, because at the time I was like, I'm going to keep him pristine forever. And he had better swords. Because the American version, the swords, they had to remold them to not be dangerous. They were kind of pointy. Anyway. We're going to have this month Bumblebee's Masterpiece is coming out. Next month Ultra Magnus' Masterpiece is shipping, probably like next month / January. Within 2 months from then, we've got Masterpiece Star Saber coming out. It's going to be friggin' like 6 months of Masterpiece hype.
I think Star Saber is supposed to be March.
Well, yeah, I'm being generous because I'm running with the idea that Ultra Magnus is, like, most people will probably have him in January.
Yes, but I'm running with the idea that I need time to recover after Ultra Magnus.
You don't. Just roll with it. Man, freaking nope. Ultra Magnus immediately followed by Star Saber. Holy crap. This is going to be fun, man. Yeah, I'm excited. Well, my own new picture pick is a real short thing. We actually talked about it. I found out about it in the pre-show, but I want to talk about it here because I think it's really interesting. I'm going to talk about that thing about Play With This 2 has partnered up with Christopher Dahlberg from The Four Horsemen. That's pretty legit. I mean, a lot of people already with this too are legit Hasbro, but or you know, it's legit designers in general. But Chris Dahlberg has worked with, he was one of the co-founders of the Four Horsemen, who are to this day a pretty big player in the indie toy scene. So I mean, they're also they tend to get their fingers in everything in mm-hmm. what they do. Like they work with Mattel. They've touched on the Glio system a whole lot, but. I think it's a confidence-inspiring thing to see a Four Horsemen pedigree name get attached to Play With This 2. It gives me hope that they're really going to pull it off next year. And I was also kind of looking at when it said former co-owner of the Four Horsemen, because I was like, but weren't there, isn't it the whole point is that there's four of them? But I think, like, I haven't dug. I don't think it's like he, I think he's still with four, I don't know. Someone who knows more about this, tell me in the thread. Let me have it. But I think it's good news. Aaron, without getting too deep into it, it seemed like you're pretty into this too.
Yeah, it definitely is something that kind of shows that they're, well, like you said, serious about getting it done. You know, they say that they've brought him in to do their digital sculpts, which, you know, really makes it seem, you know, if there's somebody at least that seems like it's a name to get the thing done, it's this guy. You look at his website and he's got a lot of good stuff on there that looks like he's not a one trick pony, as it were. Some of the different things and styles shows that, you know, they can say, hey, this is kind of what I can't really say that Play With This 2 looks like they're going to have a house style, but hey, this is what we're doing. Can you follow in that?
That's one of the traits of the Four Horsemen in general, I find, is that they are able to pretty well gel in with someone else's desired style.
So, excited for what that can bring to them and be able to continue moving on.
Yeah. Also, this is, like, on another level, I think the kind of cool thing here is now we've got it, like, all right, so now this company is going to be uniting someone who commonly worked with Mattel with people who commonly worked with Hasbro.
Yeah.
So, like, Play With This 2 is getting to act like this independent, like, you know, DC meets Marvel kind of thing, but on a toy design approach.
And then we can have, like, Amalgam Comics again and have that. No?
Yeah, we can have an inhumanoid monster that's, like, part inhumanoid and part Transformer and part Outer Spaceman and part DC Comics and He-Man. Like, just mission. I don't know. I'm just naming off things now. It's cool news. It's also a good way to keep their press moving without, like, really artificially dragging it out, because this is a legit headline to talk about. TJ, any thoughts about Play With This 2 gaining another experienced name of the toy industry?
It's a cool thing to see. Like, of all these little groups that pop up and you never know who, you know, you rarely ever do you actually know who's behind it, who's making the toys. This is almost like an all-star lineup coming together.
Yeah, like, if they can... I'm trying to think of who else they could get in here. Like, if they can get, like, I don't know, some of the freelancers who work for Hasbro, like Marcelo Matier or Emiliano Santalucia, to throw in something, that would be kind of cool. What if they're the guys who picked up Toy Guru? Just because. Like, all right, he's going to get the coffee in the office. I was just noticing they have a picture here of the like the CAD parts for one of the tech drones, and I'm noticing at the top right a double-sided 5mm peg.
Yeah.
That is a piece that outside of this entire toy line could have some ramifications.
Just, like, forget everything else they're making, just have them make a bunch of, like, 5mm translator pegs.
So Glios came up with a double-sided male peg for female-to-female connections a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, and that changed the entire game of building stuff with Glios. I think Play With This 2, I'm not saying this is what they should focus their resources on, but if it's reasonable for them to just sell bags of double-sided 5mm pegs, I think they might actually do pretty well.
And why is it now I just imagine you with one of those bags at a convention? Hey, man, hey.
You need some 5-to-5s.
You want a puff? I got some double dicks here. I got some male to male.
Just here. Just take a look at this one. Tell me what you think. All right. You like that? You like that? Next one's $10.
I was gonna say something referencing a scene from Rec Room for a Dream, but I'm not going to because I'm too mature. People who see the movie know what I'm talking about. There was a thing on their Twitter they were posting up about how the helmet is going to work for one of the tech drones, where it's going to use, like, friction nubs to connect to the head, and then, like, you take it off and stick it on the other way around to hide the face in the vehicle mode. That was kind of neat. Oh, you can see it there in this, the snap-on helmet there. They were showing a close-up of how that, they were hoping that to work. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Go for it, Poitou. Moving on. I need to... Oh, you know what? I forgot to copy that into the topic list.
Oh, boy.
Everyone, wait for me for a second.
Professional.
I'm going to copy and paste this into here and save the changes so that our topic list contains all the links that are pertinent. DairyCon has something that I felt was actually really worth bringing up, just at least briefly. We've talked about DairyCon before. They're the fan-run convention who make all the super fun, goofy exclusives, often based on cows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. I didn't know this, that this is the first time they're ever doing it, but for the first time in their 15-year history, March 2015, their next one, they're going to have the convention open to walk-in guests. And that's interesting, man.
It's something that I think I remember coming up at one point in time, but never really thought about it, but yeah.
So I'm curious how one would should take this. Like, is this a case where they feel that they are able to have enough of a draw to bring in walk-ins, or are they just thinking like, hey, maybe we should just finally open the doors to this? Like, for it to be a 15-year run coming to an end of no walk-ins, I'm curious what motivates it.
Yeah, I think it's something that can't hurt them.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, charge $10 at the door, and people that, you know, hey, Transformers is a cool thing that all the hip kids are talking about this year. Why not?
What do you think was the impetus, though? Because, I mean, like, if it's going to be that it's popular, they would have done this in, like, before 2010.
I don't know.
Do you think they've hit a level of attendance where they feel it's feasible now?
Or I wonder if they might have had somebody come to the door the last couple of years and be like, oh, Transformers, yeah, that's cool, and then...
Hmm.
Yeah, I can imagine something like that. Oh, what's going on here? Oh, Transformers, thank you. I can't get... No, I can't... all right. Oh, never mind then.
Bye. I think it's great news, whatever the reason is, because if there's one thing conventions are great at, it's bringing people together under the idea that everyone is there for the same reason, even if it's a really, really broad reason. So, and I'm taking this as that they are doing well enough that they feel this is something that they really want to move into. So congrats, DairyCon, for opening up to walk-ins. If you guys have never heard of DairyCon, just look up some of their past exclusives. Their stuff is super friggin' fun. It's often like customized toys that are done in a small run just for convention goers. It's a really cool approach. I got a hold of, through some very generous folks, one of their microcassettes they did a year or three ago. It's like literally a microcassette, but in like a customized cassette case.
Mm-hmm.
It's Action Master Ravage. I thought that was super, super clever. So good job, guys. Moo. 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 I just want to keep saying moo. Let's do a listener question. I got a listener question here, and it is aimed directly at you two. This comes from Sting286. It says, greetings from Australia. Here's another message from Sting285. Or is that 282? Yes, I remember the demotion. So I hope you guys feel good about yourselves. You've actually scarred a listener by... You know, just browbeating their username down a few numbers.
Good.
Had it coming.
Says, hello, Evangelist, the even team of TJ Omega. Rather, TJ Omega for you, Evangelist and Aaron, of whom I fear we may not ever get along, of which I will explain shortly. So this is going to go great, Aaron.
All right.
Sting says, I've caught up to episode 156. Yes, still making my way through older episodes. That is the episode of which had my first listener question submission to the show 3 years apart from my first and second submissions. Sure to take my time, don't I? No, that's great. I like it when people wait a few years between listener questions, because there are some people who wait a few weeks between listener questions. So it's a nice change of pace. Hopefully the list hasn't fallen behind again. I was the girl who originally asked TJ and Vandalus about what Kamen Rider figure arts figure should I get as my first one. Didn't ask Aaron, as I did not know at the time he also collected them, and his joke answer was the Lunar Trigger double pack with the bendy, not bendy arms, which me and TJ got a good laugh out of, is true. Because that two-back is kind of not very good. So there was that, and then the recent LEGO Movie debacle. This is the person who said that they were interested in the extras of the LEGO Movie, even though they didn't like the LEGO Movie, which went great with Aaron. So Sting says, not sure if we'll ever get along, though I'd like to say sorry, Aaron.
Hey, there's wonder no problem. How you can have your wrong opinions.
Wonder how I will offend you this time, if at all. So that's a challenge to you, Aaron, is you've got to get offended now somewhere in here.
Too much effort.
Okay.
Just randomly offended at stuff.
As to the questions. Sting recently picked up Age of Extinction, Voyager Hound. Could not help but find herself thinking he should have gotten a leader class figure and not the re-release of Dark of the Moon Leader Class Bumblebee, because that was the third Leader Class figure for Age of Extinction, was the Leader Bumblebee without the huge electronics pack that made him cost Leader price point. That was pretty garbage that happened. I was not happy about that. Goes on to say, recently saw Voyager Drift and Slog, my local Target, so Australia has them now, for those who might not know. Question is, if the figure's really so far from Age of Extinction, which ones do you wish had gotten a size-up release, and which ones do you feel should have gotten a size-down, if a release at all? Second part of which is, which characters from the film do you want to see get released, but quite possibly won't? I have a real easy answer for this, is I can't believe they dropped a ball on not releasing a single toy called a Viacon outside of the breakout battle with that one Dread.
My head is rattling fiercely.
Why?
Why, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, right?
Even not just as Viacons, but those, any of the cannon fodder dudes.
I just called them Viacons. Like they, yeah. I think they had some other name, but I...
Yeah, even if they just called them cannon fodder A through F, any of those could have gotten a good release, because you had, what, two bad guys
in
the line?
Every single Autobot toy could have gotten a head remold as a bad guy, and they could have spun it as the Viacons scanned their alt modes, and, you know, because the Viacons were made of Transformium, they reformed themselves. So like, they could have had an evil Autobot team, basically.
Is it easily bad that my eyes fluttered when you said that T word?
Transformium?
Yeah.
Aaron, let's talk about cybernucleic acid. Every time I say that, Kryn...
I need alcohol.
Kryn, who works in science, literally can't take the idea of cybernucleic acid. It's just like a... No! Also, I mean, Japan is doing it like I had predicted from day one, but also I can't believe that Bumblebee's not getting a repaint as Stinger stateside. That seems like an easy thing to do. They did the one-step changer. Maybe the stateside, that's all they need to do. And I think that... given how he was engineered, maybe Lockdown should have been a Voyager. If he was engineered differently, maybe he wouldn't have had to be, but if they really want to use that transformation, then yes, maybe he should have been a Voyager toy. Just make it, because he's packaged in robot mode as a Voyager, make that robot mode fit in a Voyager box, and then compress it down to a car. I don't know. Make a different toy called Lockdown, and then change the Lockdown toy to be a Viacon, and we'd be in a better universe, in my opinion. Aaron, sounds like you mirrored my thoughts on the Viacons there.
Yeah, like I said, it's really surprising because we got virtually no bad guy toys, and I know that good guy toys tend to sell better than bad guy toys do, at least in the U.S., but to not have any... I mean, I know that there wasn't... There were all mindless drones against kind of the control of Galvatron, but still, there's plenty of space to have repaint dude show up and... do something so that you can have some variety rather than just like, they're all good guys and they're fighting against this one guy.
And Lockdown is so tiny a toy, too.
And any bad guy toys that you may have held over in your toy box from years previous. I just find it odd. As far as sizing up and sizing down, I think that a larger... Hound for scale's sake might have been better... But the Voyager's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I can't disagree that like he's both a little too slender and maybe not as tall as you might want, but he's such a decent toy. Like if you just take him as like young Hound, he kind of works.
Right. My fear would be in turning Hound from a Voyager to a Leader, they'd feel the need not to just make him bigger and maybe a couple more parts, but then like, well, if he's a Leader, we gotta put electronics in him. Okay, well, after we've put electronics in them,
they didn't do
then
that with...
it's got to be... Well, swap electronics for any dumb thing.
Well, in this case, chrome.
Yeah, chrome. we got to put 3 pounds of chrome on them, like Jetfire, who we'll be talking about later. Or something like that, you know? And it's like, man, I understand that you want to make something nice at that point, but why not make the something nice an extra nice transformation? Or... for Hound, throw another couple guns in there, or...
You know what?
Or have some depleted ammo action where you have something on his, like, gun belt arms that you twist around another way and it looks empty rather than full of bullets.
What if they did a Leader Class Hound and he could spit a cigar and his hat came off?
Yes, if his hat came off, that'd be cool.
I'd buy that.
Spitting a cigar, no, because you have to have the missile be more than 3 inches or whatever.
Yeah, spit a giant cigar out of his face.
Yeah. Out of his face, which means he has a huge thing in the back of his head.
Yeah, it's a normal size cigar. There's just like a 3-inch protrusion out the back of his skull. Yeah.
He's like, this is my favorite cigar. Oh my god, I really want to see that now. Well, TJ, what about you? Have you got any answers for this question?
If we're talking downsizing, probably the Voyager Drift. Like, you take the like, I wouldn't mind a helicopter Drift, but just take the Tomahawk mold and do that. You know, I'm not paying $20 for the Drift that's there just to sell an extra toy.
There's no way it would have happened for a movie line, but I would have loved to see the designer and engineer's takes on trying to do a triple changer Drift.
Like, and still make it accurate to the Bugatti?
They would not have spent the time and money on that for the movie line, but I still would like to know how they would even conceive of getting the shapes to work.
There's some crazy customizer trying to rework Springer. You know there is.
Oh, no, there are the number of customized Springers out there before and after the triple changer are pretty... I don't know. I had some thoughts about it. Like, that if you take the deluxe Drift and just make the helicopter mode mostly look like his robot mode folded in a shape, there's a way it could work. I don't know.
And if I have to upscale something, probably Slog.
That guy would have been cool as a gigantic robot.
Yeah, well, it's a Brontosaurus, or, I'm sorry, we can't call them Brontosauruses anymore.
It's a long neck.
Yeah. It's a little foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Narrows it down. That toy's got a lot of little finicky things that probably could have been engineered out if they had the size and budget point of a leader.
The imagery of the toy too would be amazing as a like, because he's already his design intent in robot mode was to be the giant guy just made of armor,
right?
Like the walking wall, and for that to also be like really tall too would have been really cool.
Yeah, because I look at him in my shelves right now, he's actually a bit smaller than Grimlock visually.
Yeah, and
it doesn't quite work.
That's another reason, by the way, why you should not bother with Leader Grimlock, is he just doesn't look right next to the other ones.
No, that I would love that. I would have loved that toy size. I miss the day when the big toys were big because the character was big, not because they were the big marketable names.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get some cool toys out of that if you can get over that this toy is way too big for who it is, but I don't know. That Age of Extinction... Dark of the Moon, Leader Bumblebee, is a really neat, Bumblebee toy. It's just, like, it's criminal to try to sell that without the sound box for Leader Price. It's
we live in the day where if they did Cybertron now, Metroplex would be a Voyager, but Hotshot would be a Leader class.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of funny. I don't know. Because Cybertron would have tried to work that into the show. So...
Oh god, yeah.
Sasha would have done the silly thing where he's like, bruh, just starts inflating.
Well, Starscream got big in that show. They've got the gimmicks for it.
And he was
Landmine got big for no reason.
It's kind of silly when either of them did it. Anyway, there's an off-topic question in here too. Which is, of all the shows you grew up watching, which ones would you like to see get brought back, either remastered or rebooted, including if the toy line was given the same budget that Transformers have? Apparently, we cannot say Mask. Also, Aaron, what franchise would you like to see LEGO cover next? Aaron, what franchise you want to see?
The first part, I'd say Centurions.
Oh, that'd be cool! I forgot about Centurions.
And I don't even think it'd need the same budget that Transformers gets, because it's pretty straightforward. At least in the first, like, year or two, then you could start going crazy with it. Because I remember the heck out of that, and it's one of those things that I remember a whole lot of childhood joy of it, so I don't want to go and find episodes and watch them again, because they're probably horrible.
Don't go through what some other people went through with Thundercats and He-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Real fun show for 20 minutes at a time, but you start watching a whole season.
But no, I recently saw something with Centurions are 5mm holes.
Yeah, well, the whole 5mm thing came from a realization that a lot of the toy industry was actually just using that because it's a good peg size.
Yeah, it's probably a good... Well, it probably started as, like, that's a good... Whatever screw fits down inside of an approximately 5mm hole, it has the right amount of size versus... traction for connecting.
To make a peg that won't snap.
It just happened, and then it's like, well, we could also use this for pegs, and away it's gone. But no, for that, I'd like to see a modern Centurions. Because then you can also get like into some of the dark bits of the bad guy side of like when somebody's half cyborg, half human, at what point are they more machine than man, and does that really matter, and things like that.
Aaron, have you written Centurions fan fiction?
No.
Well, you should.
No. I mean, not under my normal screen names.
All right.
As for what I'd like to see Lego cover next, I don't know. They've got Marvel and DC locked up, which still amazes me.
Yeah, holy crap.
Yeah.
that continues to have every time I get a new Lego catalog that has new stuff from both sides, I'm like, do they not look at everything that they license? Cause
I think that they're just like, we make so much money off this Lego deal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but both of them tried their own things at one point in time.
You know what?
Some Marvel stuff was out with Kinex, I think, or Mega Bloks.
Mega Bloks did Marvel too. If Marvel went with Mega Bloks now rather than like 4 years ago, holy crap, it would be a different story.
Yeah. But I mean, both of those, which cover a whole lot of properties, because it's not just like Marvel Studios Marvel, it's all of Marvel.
Yeah. And all of DC.
And all of DC.
And they prototype using each other's figures, like when the leaked packaging shots came out, when they had like fill-in models, and it was like, why is the Hulk flying around on Brainiac's platform or whatever?
Yeah, because they had the dude that was that size. Yeah. But just about anything else that I can think of rapidly is already linked into some sort of block system. No, that's Marvel already.
How about Big Bang Theory?
You know. I'm pretty sure they have some sort of...
They confirm Big Bang Theory is the next Lego Ideas set coming out. That was what I was leading into.
Is it?
Yeah, it's literally the Big Bang Theory Ideas set someone submitted. That's their living room.
Did it just go for review? No, I guess
it's approved.
The bird set are the next two coming out. And wow, I thought you knew. That's even better.
No, I didn't. No,
Aaron, you sound about as into Big Bang Theory as I am.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
They also in the video said that they are still working on trying to make one of two Doctor Who sets work for Lego.
Yeah.
And that the next round of... They showed the next round of ideas submissions.
I guess I missed this.
Okay, the next round thing.
The next one had...
The next one has the frigging... The Bruce Wayne Manor with the Batcave built in. And the X-Men mansion with the Danger Room built in the basement.
Yeah.
And the Firehouse is in the next review period, too.
Yeah.
Except that... So there's all that, right? But in the same review period, there's also two lightsaber handles and something else small. And so I'm like, I bet you the small things are going to get made.
Because
the Firehouse is amazing looking, but there's no way. Not right now, anyway. I don't think there's any way.
Yeah. Wow, I missed that totally on the 7th. Wow, that's been a week, and
I like how me literally saying Big Bang Theory, which is literally happening, led to you saying, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, not that it wouldn't happen, but not that I want it to happen.
Well, Aaron, I got great news for you.
Looks like me managing to miss the Research Institute and getting behind on my making sure I have all the Lego QSO ideas things that I can is going to further get lost behind.
Oh, this was a great way for me to just go like, yeah, I'm not going complete on ideas QSO.
Yeah.
I don't need a Big Bang Theory living room, and those birds are pretty, but I'm not the target for them. Also, freaking Big Bang Theory, no. Well, TJ, you don't have to answer the Lego question because I was aimed directly at Aaron. But what do you want to see get brought back from your yesteryear?
Jeez, I was trying to think. All my favorite stuff has been redone already.
Yeah, it's an interesting question now because it's like, well, what's left that isn't Mask and that hasn't happened?
Yeah,
I got one, but that's
well. In the vein of Transformers, Mask, and G.I. Joe and all of them from the 80s, that's almost all of it's redone in one way or another, or they have spiritual successors, whatever. I will take it a different direction. Give me back my Darkwing Duck.
What is so? Darkwing Duck actually had a comic series a couple years ago that apparently was really good, and yeah. I've been meaning to get a hold of it.
Yeah,
there's also an interesting story about where it went because apparently there was a big fight among the creatives of that book. But
they capped it off with a DuckTale crossover. That alone's worth it.
The whole thing was literally a DuckTale crossover. That's what's the best part.
Well,
they leaned into
it. Pecked it in, yeah, pecked in here and there. Well, it is from the beginning. Launchpad's in the freaking thing.
Yeah, and Gizmo Duck shows up constantly.
Yeah.
But no, that comic book being so good, I think that there's, maybe not right now, but I feel like that comic proved there are legs on that franchise.
There's a lot of stuff from the Disney afternoon that's still really well remembered. I mean, you had the DuckTales remastered game come out.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that went over fairly well. A lot of that stuff is hitting a nostalgia point. Well, right now we're like heavy 80s nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
But the cycle will continue. You know, a few years from now we'll start in on the 90s nostalgia, and that stuff might see a resurgence.
And Disney is getting better about getting better toys made for their stuff. To some degree. Like, Big Hero 6 is mostly leaning in with Bandai's, you know, children-oriented Thundercats stuff, but there's some really good pieces hidden in there if you look. Like, the big flying Baymax is a pretty good toy.
Just saw a bunch of that stuff. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, I got the big flying Baymax just because it was like, this is a big robot that shoots its fist and it looks really cool. And then after I got it, I was like, oh man, I hope I don't hate this movie coming out of this.
It's a good movie. Have you seen Big Hero 6?
I haven't yet.
You should.
Is it a spoiler for me to ask you why my big Baymax figure has a thing that can spring load extend out of his chest? It's like a tube.
Yeah, a little tube that's the round thing on the chest. That's where his memory chips get put into.
I figured that, but I wanted to ask someone. Because it just happens on the toy. It's like you push it in and it extends out. And I was like, why?
Yeah. Yeah, it has a couple of moments where that is important.
Okay, I don't know to say anything else. Just
I know. I'm just saying that yes, there is a reason, and it's for memory chips.
And you like the movie?
Yeah, it was real good. And like all Marvel movies, stay through to the end because
oh really? They're doing that with that movie. One too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they were going to lean into that.
It was a good one too.
Okay.
It's not MCU. It is its own universe. It's not. There are people that are like, oh, it could totally be in the cinematic universe, and then
yeah, aside from cinematic being live action and this being a cartoon, yeah. Totally.
And it's in, and it's in what is it, San Francisco Bay or whatever?
You know, famous location of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, there's Bay. A kid that has a rapid 3D printer thing that can make robot armor.
You know, but Iron Man has no idea this exists yet, but
yeah. But other than that, it could totally be in the Marvel Cinematic, you know.
Guess what? Spoiler, Ultron is Baymax. There you go.
Oh, no.
And no.
James Spader is Baymax.
Find out Ultron just hopped out of a 3D printer.
Hey, spoilers. Man, I can't stop watching Ultron trailers. The James Spader voice is hypnotic.
Yeah.
I don't usually watch trailers at all, let alone over and over again. But I just want to hear him say No Strings on Me, like forever.
You're just going to have that audio loop to fall asleep to.
God, I can't get over how well his voice works for a frigging hype trailer. It's beautiful. He could have been the goofiest, loudest cartoon robot voice ever. That's what I thought they were going to do with an Ultron. And they went in this... Man! It's a good direction. Anyway, that's off topic. I want to see Starryors come back, because Starryors are a bunch of designs that I think just lend themselves to being toys so well, you could make whatever fiction you want to go with them, so long as it's a bunch of funny-looking vehicles with cockpit heads, and one of them has a drill for a belly. I think Starryors is an aesthetic that could make a comeback real easy if it's possible to, rights-wise. I know that there are people out there who wanted to try to do it themselves and couldn't get a hold of the license, but, Starryors feels like a thing that could come back. Also, Mask. Screw you guys. I'm going to say it anyway. Mask should come back. Holy crap. Where is Mask? So to finish up the message we got here, Sting286 thanks us for the answer 3 years ago about Fig Arts, but never actually went 4-1 because of the price versus shipping. Also tells me that the TARDIS wins. I remember the signature image of Kamen Rider Double drop kicking a TARDIS. Kamen Rider is a person. TARDIS is a box. The person kicking the box wins. That's how the world works. Anyway, I look forward to more past and future podcasts listening. I hope you have a good week or rest of the week, depending on the show's recorded. P.S. Sorry about the ridiculously long message. Don't worry. We get these all the time.
I don't know. I'll just say Sting286, you get your full number back. We're cool.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to get reactions from stuff we've long since gone past.
Also, PPS, screw you, Aaron.
That's not under message.
Damn it. You were looking?
Yeah. I actually read these as you go.
Trying to keep the feud going here. Damn it.
No, we're cool. We're cool.
What about you and me, Aaron? We cool?
No.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. Screw you, Aaron. Can't believe this. Thanks for your listener question. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll talk when we come back about what we got this week.
You can imagine in the future, giant robot-controlled warriors will protect the planet Earth. The Staria Wasters, each sold separately, are mechanized warriors with wind-up action.
Surrender, evil waster!
Never!
Keep answering!
Staria Wasters, each sold separately with its own comic book, part of the Staria's collection.
Hey, Aaron, we're back, yeah. But I wanted to wait till we were on mic to do this to you. So, Aaron, why did they nix the Shaun of the Dead Lego ideas thing?
I don't know.
Well, guess what? They're still making one for Big Bang Theory.
Ah! Fell for it again.
All right. That's all I wanted to hear. Suffering. Let's talk about what we got this week. Starting off with what Transformers stuff we got this week. Aaron, did you Transformer at all?
Yes, I did.
All right. Was it Big Bang Theory?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Quit it. Was Leader Jetfire.
So, how did you get him? That's my first question.
Went to... it wasn't my local Toys R Us. Went to... Indianapolis to go to the Lego store on an A-Full day where we get some stuff, and stopped at the Toys R Us that was near there and saw Jetfire and bought him.
What?
I exchanged currency for plastic.
Did you pay a full retail on him, or was there anything?
It was 48 for $48.99 or whatever.
It's like reasonable retail. Not New York City Toys R Us retail.
No.
Well, then I gotta ask, at that price, how do you like him? How do you feel about him?
I enjoy him. He's pretty good. I can definitely see where people have gone, like, so all of the chrome bits come off and generally stay to the side.
Left it alone. You're just like, no, we're just...
Yeah, I am going to investigate the processes that were done by someone that gets name-dropped more often than he thinks he should.
His name means sword in Japanese.
Okay. Because I think that the looks of what I've seen people de-chroming this has looked good, because the plastic underneath it doesn't seem too bad. I've got a little bit of chrome flaking already.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't look good with all that tons of chrome. And
it's not even the chrome that bums me out. It bums me out that on mine too, I saw flaking happen within like a minute or two of.
Yeah.
And I was just like, aw. Yeah. Like
mine is like where the sprue marks are of where the guns were in, like molded together. Mm. That is just like the starting point of everything kind of just flaking a tiny bit.
It bummed me out because I was like, I had this nice big jet toy and I was kid glovesing it, putting it down because I was like, oh, I don't want to bump the chrome. And I was like, damn it, I'm already... I hate... That's the thing I don't like about chromes is when it's the thing that makes me not have fun with the figure because I'm like, oh, I don't want to bump the chrome. The chrome will chip.
Yeah. It makes you worry about something you shouldn't have to worry about.
But don't you collectors love chrome?
No.
Especially when, so I have over the last year or two, I've gotten into a bigger mindset of when I have a toy that's sold on a retail shelf, kind of for kids, I treat it more roughly.
Yeah.
Of just like, I kind of want to see how it feels, because it's fun having a toy you can treat it roughly.
It's a friggin' toy.
And then I take Jetfire, which is something I categorize as a toy that should take rough play, and it feels like it can take it, but then all the chrome on it is like this passenger that's like, hey, be careful, okay? I'm here too.
Yeah. But no, I've transformed him 4 or 5 times, and each time it seems like I find another slot and flap, or another, like the second joint that's in his foot for transformation that doesn't get. It's another case of things that don't get terribly pointed out in instructions. Mm-hmm. So the first time I transformed him, I didn't have his foot tucked up all the way.
Oh, yeah.
So thought that his feet kind of hanging out past the back of it was just like, well, it's not the best thing in the world, but that's kind of the price you pay. And then I transformed one side, and I was sitting there trying to figure out why one side didn't look like the other, and had to suss out that it was like, oh, no, heck, there's an extra joint in that foot that lets it collapse up and makes everything else line up better. Oh, this is a better toy now because I used all the joints that are there to transform it. But the instructions, because now they have to, you know, if you don't have language on it, you don't have to have that language translated on it. So they go for pictograms with some color on it, and the pictograms don't always seem to be the best.
No, I have more to say about that syndrome when I get to my stuff.
But yeah, that's. I think if there's anything that's kind of becoming an ongoing disappointment, it is the Transformers instructions. Because while I think it looks better than some of the past have with the photographs and showing the motion, it seems like it's also getting worse because it's like not the best photographs, and it's like, we're going to show you the whole thing for this really small motion that happens in his wrist. I'm like, okay, well, I can identify an arm, so why don't you give me a blow up of the arm to show me what this move is versus like the whole toy and a little twisty rotate thing.
Yeah, and I understand that they've said like that they know there is a YouTube community of Transformers fans making YouTube content about Transformers, and they're filling in a niche. But I always sit there looking at the Hasbro Transformers YouTube channel, just sitting there going like, where is the playlist of video instructions?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
In 2014, and with your instruction sheets suffering more and more, like as someone who would possibly lose traffic because it's there, I want to see a company make video instruction sheets.
Have the designer that this is like, okay, this is somebody's. I was trying to remember the guy's name that was in one of those videos that we watched earlier.
John Warden, for instance.
John Warden. Look, John, this toy here, that was your baby, right? You kind of walked it through all the steps. The initial design was yours. You were the one that made sure it looked good. Here, take the toy out of the box. Here's a box that we got off of the out of the shipping case. Here it is. Here's 2 cameras set up on you. Here's a third one that you can get in close if you need it to. Transform him 2 or 3 times. And maybe even, you know, talk about this, that, and make sure you see this part. I feel really proud about this thing that I did here.
Oh, to throw commentary in.
You can get a little bit of commentary in there for the boring parts in the middle of transformation. You can have the instructions from the source. And then that way, I mean, because how often do we find a little gimmick in toys that you know was put there intentionally but doesn't show up on instructions?
Like,
That would be the best place to drop this, and this is becoming an op-ed piece rather than me op-editing about the toy.
Let me take out what I want and just say what I lowercase want. Like, designer commentary added into this would be golden cake. But
yeah,
just in terms of making something, I just am amazed that, like, they tried video instructions, like, once, a year or 3 ago, I forgot when, for, like, one of the movie lines. It was shot poorly, it was not zoomed in, you could hardly really see what was going on, it was just not very well done, it was a one-take video from one angle.
Yeah.
And for that to have been the only effort, I was just like, but why? Like, there's so many examples out there of a smooth, good-looking, practically commercial-like way to do this. And I feel really weird that I don't see more of that from actual companies.
Yeah,
because like, I don't want to sit there thinking that I'm a forward thinker beyond people who make thousands of dollars thinking about that stuff.
Right.
But I'm like, well, am I? Because holy crap.
But no, I mean, and it's things like the way that the wings have, like in robot mode, his wings have pegs that help hold his arms together.
Yeah.
That was something that the first couple times through I didn't catch.
The Discovery thing, and, I think, and is I, and fun. I was, but...
Well, there is some fun to that Discovery, but it would also be nice to have, like, hey, get all of this stuff pegged together, and he turns out a whole lot nicer. Because without that peg in place, his shoulder is super weird.
Yeah.
You can kind of get it to rest where it needs to, and it mostly holds in place. But, like, if, what was it? Having his, you know, raising his arm up to the side would frequently jostle it around. And I was sitting there messing with it on the couch, and I was like, man, this... Okay, I guess. I mean, only so many ways you can do it. Oh, wait a second. This last time you pegged that into the wing, it keeps the wing in place and it keeps the arms in place. Hey, isn't that great? It's like, and it's just kind of frustrating with that. And I don't know. It's still a good toy. It is a great leader. It's great Jetfire. I love the helmet mask change part of it.
It's really nice and solid, too.
It is. Oh, man. I like the fact that it keeps his same chin in place.
Yeah.
That is the thing where before I was like, okay, it's just like the whole front of his head come up. No, it's not. It's like the mask, the bigger helmet part, and the crazy Macross ears come off. And it's two different head sculpts just that easy. And then is there supposedly a thing that the helmet does separate?
It can stick onto his gun.
Oh, boy.
It's in the instructions. It's near the bottom of one of the two pages. And it looks a lot like a faceplate stuck to his gun. But it is designed to attach to his gun when not in use.
Okay. I'll have to double check that.
It looks super dumb, but I kind of like it.
Because I'm not seeing how it easily connects.
No, so. I had to look at a picture to figure it out. Once you see how it works, it's kind of clever.
What is it, like the grooves on the top of the gun?
I can't remember anymore. Yeah.
Cuz that's the issue I've had with his gun is it seems like it has the hairiest of hair triggers.
Oh, I just leave the missile out.
I took to that. Oh, that's I think how it is. Yeah. Okay. It's the grooves on the top part, take the side grooves of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it totally looks like just a face on a gun. But no, it has. I've tried two or three times. So just like when I'm messing with it. Okay, I'll put the missile in the go. Oh, there's the missile. Hey, okay. All right, I'll get that back. I won't make that mistake again. Hold it with kid gloves. Kind of turn it a weird way.
Spring. I'm gonna look at the toy and it shoots you in the mouth.
Yeah. That and I wish that his main gun had some way of maybe mounting between the booster packs.
Yeah, the asymmetry of the gun mount, aside from sticking it under the nose cone, which looks terrible.
Yeah, sticking it under the nose cone always looks terrible, because there's the only gun that has, the only plane that has a centrally mounted gun like that, the plane is built around the gun, so
yeah,
just kind of jamming it on underneath what's mostly an F-14 really work.
I was kind of surprised there was nowhere for it to slot in between them, because it is like a real natural place to put the other red chrome thing.
Yeah. And then you could have something that was pretty symmetrical and could easily shed all of the crazy chrome fast pack style stuff rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the way that the cockpit and everything sits up flush. In robot mode, it's a really good toy for my problems with the toy world. Were I a kid and got this toy, I would be tickled pink.
For how much it cheats and how much the stuff it does has in past led to a clunkier looking and more awkward looking toy, mm-hmm. I find Jetfire is really sleek.
Yeah,
all things considered.
Both modes, he looks really good. Some of the tricks that he does that are a little bit cheaty and a little bit not. They're all good design.
Like, I feel good about getting a Thundercracker out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. And if this is the direction that the new Combiner Wars line is going to head, I say bring it on.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish there was a better place, a place to put his missile other than his hair trigger gun.
Well, clearly they've gotten over Chrome.
Yeah.
So,
I hope so. I hope they use like the next 3 years chrome budget in this thing.
And then Leader Megatron comes out and he's got a chrome ass turret. I'm glad you're enjoying him. I was especially for when you're paying, you know, the near $50 price. I worry that could diminish the toy a lot for some folks.
No, I knew that the $30 price was a fluke. Leaders haven't earnestly been $30 for ever.
Yeah.
So So that was somebody got a little bit jumpy with a pricing gun.
I think that was just Walmart going like, we're just gonna sell.
Just pre-clearance these things.
We're gonna get everyone's attention and move some units, I think was their thought.
But that is what I got in transforming robots.
Alright. Well, TG Omega, did you get any Transformers this week?
Actually, no, I did not.
Well, there's so much out there for you to get. There's all these movie toys everywhere.
If I want One Step Changers, yes. Yes, they are everywhere.
You could go completionist on One Step Changers. What are you waiting for?
There's one box that I just saw the other day where I can go completionist with one purchase.
Oh, yeah, that Target, that enormous Target box.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have some of the best ones in it.
Yeah, I'm aware. All my stuff is in pre-order hell right now, and it's getting scary because it's all taking longer than I thought it would.
It's all right. It means it'll all just kind of blurb onto your doorstep one day.
Yeah, but it's also going to hit my wallet at the same time now.
Yeah, just this enormous, like, punch to your gut followed by an enormous, like puddle of puke on your front doorstep made of plastic. It'll be
I'm waiting for the Fembots to... I thought the Fembots are coming early this month, and Brainstorm are coming early, and they still haven't come in at BBTS.
I really want to know what the BBTS Brainstorms are like. I want to know if those ones are like mine, or if it's corrected before those ones hit.
Well, if they ever get in stock, I will let you know.
Yeah. I have a vested interest in this.
So, Bumblebee is coming this month. I got Mega Drive Megatron on pre-order, too. I'm going to get an email late this month where it just says, cash due, all.
Yeah. Just give us your account numbers, we'll deal with it.
Yeah. I'll close my eyes, do the damage, and just send me plastic.
Yeah. Well, I got some stuff this week. I got the new Mastermind Azalea, I guess, variant Zinnia. Which is their Azalea, but in the Paradrawn Medic colors. Basically, they're naming all of their Fembots after flower types. I don't know if I just get you guys a quick picture of Zinnia here. So Zinnia has been a topic of discussion over in the sub-forum because there was a little error that happened during her production, which is the factory. So, Aaron, you know this, right? Like, when you get a steel mold, you usually have, like, all the different variant parts, if you've planned ahead for them, in the same mold, but gated off.
Gated off, yeah.
So that's what the Azalea mold is like, because there's different heads and weapons for it, and they're generally gated off. Zinnia here, in all of her renders, she doesn't have the swords or the fender parts that all the Azaleas have, but they had said many times it doesn't cost anything extra to make those in production. She'll probably have them, but we'll just leave them in the box. Apparently the factory referenced this CG render when producing Zinnia and gated off all those parts rather than just producing them and putting them in the box.
Oh no.
So she just comes with two guns and that's it. She doesn't come with the swords or the fenders, and she's the same price as a lot of the other ones, so there are a lot of people going like, wait, what? So Mastermind basically communicated after a period of, I think, trying to sort out what happened, which is this is the long and short of it. This is what happened. The way it's being solved is there's actually a Mastermind fan group on Facebook that has a member who is collecting people who want Zinnia's shoulder flaps, and Mastermind will produce them to order once at some point, once they finish producing, I think, a whole bunch of their other stuff coming up. But it's a shame that the figure is basically coming out under all those circumstances, because there's a lot of cool stuff about this variant, which is that she uses a lot of green translucent plastic for several of her armor parts, which makes her look very unique compared to the other two Azaleas I've got, which is the blue one and the pink one. So it's kind of cool, and I like the idea of a kind of stripped down version of the toy. It's just a shame that the price point was the same, because if they were able to sell this one for cheaper, as, like, here's the basic-ist Azalea for, like, sub-$50, that would have been gangbusters, but I think that, like, the price point of Azalea is based entirely, or mostly, on the actual robot, not the accessories. Because it is Aaron, you saw a whole bunch of them. It is a very parts-loaded figure. There are layers of sliding bits everywhere. But, it's a cool toy. The winter green is gorgeous in person, and it messes with cameras. Any kind of camera doesn't know how to capture that green very well. So I'm looking forward to trying to film it, because that'll be interesting. I got one other unofficial thing in the mail. I got a I got a I think near final production copy of Microblaze Creations' take on fixing Fall of Cybertron Bruticus. They're the guys who are just doing an all new Onslaught rather than trying to build on the original Onslaught. You get parts for the other figures, but Onslaught, you just get a new figure. And I have a Vine video I shot, which is basically my current video review on this piece. I'll just share it with you guys. So it's an interesting thing to mess around with. It's definitely a different approach than Boosticus. It also costs twice as much as Boosticus, so it better feel different. And that's kind of been where I've been at with it, because a lot of people are immediately going, like, which is better? And it's kind of like, I like the Boosticus set. I think I like this set more, but this set also costs twice as much. So I feel like I better like it more, and if I don't like it as much as Boosticus, it's the one that's doing something wrong. So I'm still not sure really how one can compare the two. Like, Boosticus is a bunch of parts you add to the existing deluxes and the existing limb modes. This one throws out the arm modes and rebuilds them from the ground up. You are, like, taking the arm figures apart for the arm modes to make the arms look better. I've also got here a picture of the two of the Boosticus on the left and the Microblaze one on the right, just to show what they look like standing side by side.
I love how in the Vine the retail Vortex's blade just randomly starts spinning.
Yeah, it hit my lamp while I was spinning him around, and I thought it looked cool, so I kept it. I got real excited when that happened, because I was like, oh, special effects in a Vine! So I wrote the review for this. I'm recording the audio after we finish recording this. And I think it's cool. It's not the best figure in the world, but it's not a crappy unofficial toy. Like, the Onslaught standing alone, I would say, is kind of like in the upper mid-tier. Like, it's, I think it's a little bit nicer than an older KFC piece. It's nicer than anything I've had from X-Transbots. It's not Mastermind or Fans Project quality, but it's kind of in that mid-range below the top of the top. Also, one of my favorite things about this is, here's a picture of how it fixes Brawl. Brawl is one of my least favorite of the five Combaticons. This comes with a new crotch, new hands, and new feet that build right onto the Brawl toy. You don't have to do any kind of parts disassembly. These just peg in to existing peg holes. They stay on through all three transformations, no problems.
Cool.
And they make Brawl look way better. They give him real feet. They give him longer arms with bigger hands. He doesn't look like video game Brawl any more than he already did. He's actually a little bit weirder and lankier, but in a way that I think kind of works. And I like it, because it brings Brawl up to par with Vortex and Blastoff. And then they try to do the same thing for Swindle. Here's a picture of Swindle with his upgrade bit. He basically, you leave his existing chest as a backpack, and then stick a new chest piece on that has a new, better detailed head sculpt. The bummer is that you have to parts form the chest and head off of him when you transform him. And also, I don't think it really does... it helps him, but his foot mode isn't as solid as Brawl's. His robot mode parts forms. Swindle just doesn't really win ever. The Fall Cybertron Swindle remains, I think, one of my least favorite toys ever in the last couple years. This helps him a little bit, but not a ton. But the combined mode overall is pretty good. It's solid. It feels like you can shake it. It feels Hercules solid, which is pretty cool considering that it's using 2012 deluxes for the limbs. The arms have like new internal armatures that help them feel more rigid. But I'm really liking it. Also because I was tweeting about this a bunch. I have a real deep love for video game Bruticus specifically, and not for the characters, really, or the design, so much as the moment in history he represents for me as a fan. Like seeing that moment in the very first teaser of the thing that I thought wouldn't happen in a video game anytime soon. He represents a really strong, just crowd pop moment for me. So I really like the Boosticus set, and I want to say again, by no means do I think I'm diminishing the Boosticus set, but there is a, you know, cost twice as much alternative that does a whole lot more, and for a fanboy of video game Bruticus like me, it really feels like getting closer to a dream come true. The only real suffrages it has is there's a little bit of lack of polish in the assembly, because it's, you know, it's not Mastermind Make Toys Fans Project. And it is still using the old deluxes for the limbs, and especially in the case of Vortex and Blastoff, near the wrists, there's a whole lot of those toys in a way that kind of brings Bruticus down, but there's nothing that Microblaze, I think, really have to do with it so much as some little faults with the original toys. So I'm digging it. It makes me real happy to have like just this like cool like 1 foot tall video game Bruticus put together in reality. So hopefully that releases soon. I can't, aside from a few little bits of polish on the you know, some of the folding bits on Onslaught, there's not much else I could see them really improving. So and a lot of people have been waiting for this for a long time, and there were a long series of radio silences from Microbrillies about whether or not this was actually going to come out. So this was also a breath of fresh air for me and a lot of people to see an actual physically realized toy from them. I don't know. I forgot if either of you guys were, because neither of you guys were really, like, I think that deep in on keeping up with this thing, as far as I recall. TJ, you were with me, though, in the Bruticus is not too terrible camp, right?
Yeah. I've defended that toy from time to time.
Yeah, both of these sets, this one especially, like, well, both of them, actually, neither of them are especially, this one costs more, does more. They feel like they're aimed at us first. Like, it's like, hey, it's been 2 years, here's what you get for sticking by a video game Bruticus, you get some options to make them look cooler.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever end up with the spare cash, I'd say check one or two of these sets out.
spare cash, you're funny.
Yep. I don't know, let's... like, Join us over here in Camp Video Game Bruticus. Let a few things pass you by. Pick up a Boosticus, pick up the Microblaze, and let me know what you think. That's what I'd say. Which is me saying get both. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on how this looks? Like, as a fan of the originals? Well, not a fan, but a defender of the originals. Or did we lose Florida again?
Oh no, I'm still here.
Okay.
I am sorry, something momentarily distracted me.
I was just, I'm still having flashbacks from editing that last episode that we recorded.
You do it now and then, just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, I'm just like, well, what's happening now? What's broken now? But as a fan, I'm going to call you a fan now of the 2012 Bruticus. As an art who thinks it's one of the best toys in Transformers history.
Okay, this is a lot of pressure now.
What do you think of the look of these upgrade sets?
I am fine with either. I will be honest, at first glance, I couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah, a lot of it is the chest with these things. Boosticus has a plate there, and Microblaze's chest transforms.
I know, I'm so far out of the third-party scene at this point. I've not really kept up with either of them.
That's why you should just don't keep up with them. Just pick them up. As an enthusiast of video game Bruticai.
Don't follow them, don't pay attention, just pay for them.
Yeah, just pay for them, just do it. You're not buying the drive cars anymore, so you gotta some extra money.
Yeah. Doesn't absolve me from any other plastic addictions. Another exactly. Plastic...
There's only two! You can't get addicted to this, there are literally only two. There are probably no more ever coming, because this niche market is so tiny.
No, I'm good.
I like to
enjoy my Bruticai for what they are, not what they could be.
Aaron, from an outsider perspective, because I literally can't remember how you feel about Bruticus, what are you thinking about the completion of this part of his saga, that his upgrade kits are now out there?
I'm glad they are. Again, they're the weird everything crossing over, and multiple people trying to do the same thing at the same time.
Well... It's not really... Boosticus came out a long time ago.
Yeah.
Microblaze.
I guess that is true. I guess it's just getting...
They were going to come out close to the same time.
Yeah.
But...
but I'm thinking about getting it vaguely, but again, it's, you know, maybe if any of these potential jobs coming up as a thing that happens, it could happen, but probably not.
Well, there's also a not unofficial thing I got. I just remembered I wanted to tell you guys about it. I was at Target. Okay, the thing I'm going to tell you is not amazing. It's what I did with it that I thought was kind of cool. So I got Nightbeat. Because at Target, they had a sale on Deluxe Generations Transformers for $10 each. And amidst the giant wall of Skywarps and Armada Starscreams, on the opposite corner of the aisle, I found a single Nightbeat. And I thought, well, for $10... Maybe I'll pick him up. Because I never picked up Goldfire. And okay. I've heard actually Goldfire is even better than Nightbeat, because Nightbeat feels like a marked improvement build-wise over the Wave 1 Bumblebee, who was all weird and kind of had a little bit of, like, ricket to his build quality. Like, everything kind of creaked and moved a bit too much. But Nightbeat felt pretty good. Just that Nightbeat, you know, still has my least favorite thing about the Bumblebee toy is those big, dumb wings that are, like, they look good when he's standing still, the door wings, but they're attached to his shoulders, so as soon as you start moving stuff around, you've got giant wing things rotating up and down behind his back. So, on Twitter, a user named Essex Alpha showed me a mod he did to Nightbeat, and I thought it looked great, so I tried doing it, and it worked, and I've had some differing opinions in you know, the peanut gallery, but I think this is an improvement on Nightbeat, so here's a picture of it. Basically, I cut the door wings off and glued them to his arms, where they end up in transformation anyway, so he still transforms fine.
Okay.
But I think he looks better like this.
Yeah, that does look pretty good.
At least he looks different than Bumblebee, and mm-hmm. I think that Nightbeat looks better without door wings. This is not a part of the character's silhouette to me.
Yeah.
So I was really happy with this, and it was, considering it involves cutting straight through plastic, it's actually a really easy mod to do, because it's not very thick plastic, it's real easy to cut through. The parts you're cutting through are completely hidden in both modes, so no matter how you cut through them and then clean them up, you're not really blemishing the outer look of either mode. And the only tricky part is when you're gluing the doors to his arms, you might want to do it when he's in vehicle mode so that they're all lined up properly with, you know, the rest of the car bits around them. But it took me maybe half an hour tops to do this, okay. And I think it did a world of difference. So I'm real happy with my Nightbeat now. TJ, I wanted to show you this because I know that you basically get nauseous at the thought of cutting straight through a retail toy out of the package.
Yes, thank you for thinking of me.
No problem. But I would recommend, especially if you can get Nightbeat on sale, because then, hey, guess what? If you screwed up, then you're only $10 out of pocket. So it's not that big a deal. I would recommend trying this thing out if you can. If I forget to post a link in the thread, remind me, and I'll grab my Twitter post or something. But huge thanks to Essex Alpha, that's Essex _ Alpha on Twitter, who showed me this the first time and got me to want to do it. I think it does tons for this toy. Anyway, that's my what I got this week's on-topic stuff. Aaron, did you do any what you got this week off-topic stuff purchasing of?
I got an expansion for King of Tokyo. I got the Halloween expansion.
Ooh, I wanted to play that again because I got gypped in our game of that we played. I was out in like 2 minutes.
Yes, because you played it poorly.
Yeah, well, I know. I played it bravely. And had I had another chance to play, I think I would have played bravely and better.
Yeah. So the Halloween adds two more monsters and costumes. So the costumes are another type of keep card, but it's like the princess or zombie or thing that adds basically ongoing effects.
Cool.
To it, and it comes with purple and black dice that you can substitute for the black and green ones.
Nice. Yeah, if anyone out there hasn't played King of Tokyo, it's a it's made by a guy with a pedigree, mm-hmm. for sure. But it is a very well-made game. It's got that thing I like about a good game, which is that the rules ostensibly are actually pretty simple.
Yeah.
But there's a deep metagame to it.
Yep.
Like, it's got a real, there's a lot of layers of thought. You see, you have to be given the chance to play two rounds of it. One round to get into the groove, you know, and let people win, and then the second round, which I didn't get, to actually kick everyone's ass.
Yeah, it's something that kind of, it seems like a complex game when you first start it.
Yeah, you need one round to kind of just warm up.
Yeah, it's relatively simple in the grand scheme of things. And then I also, you know, talking about going to the Lego store, finally picked up the Rescue Reinforcements set. From the Lego movie.
Oh, with the fire truck?
With the fire truck mech, the like old west helicopter thing.
Oh no, that's the barn helicopter. That's a helicopter. The one with the pig on the conveyor belt running it?
Yeah, the pig on the conveyor belt running it and
I like that set a lot.
No trespassing.
Yeah.
And got my Blacktron fan that I need to get one of the, air quotes, Aaron's heads, and I think I'm going to take one of the Cowlick Emmett brown hairs and make a Blacktron Aaron.
Nice.
Blacktron fan Aaron out of it.
All I saw was your tweet with a Lego shopping bag, and I was like, I wonder what he got.
Yeah, it was, no, like I said, it was a full group day, and it was a small discount and a additional little flyer thing for upcoming stuff.
You got some points.
And I got some points, and I tried to have a friend that went with me that is a fan of, or is a member of the group, but didn't have his card with the sticker on it. And I tried to say, like, no, he's in the our group. He just doesn't have it on him. Can he just use my card? No, we can't do that. And I was like,
because you're trying to get some free points off his
whatever. I was trying to save him a little bit of money and get him the extra little flyer thingies, but apparently that's breaking the spirit of whatever of being a fan. So,
well, real fans don't leave their cards at home.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
It was one of those things that was like the lady got kind of crappy about it, but all right, I understand. You can't give that away. But you should.
How many points you got?
I don't know. I recently spent most of them, so I'm probably just cycling back up. They didn't ask if I wanted to spend points, which makes me think that I'm back under the 100.
Every time I go to a Lego store for the last couple months, they keep giving me eyes. Like, you sure you don't want to spend points yet? I'm like, nope. So I still never spend any points.
Just keep rolling it on. Just keep rolling it on.
Just like, I'll spend them when I get a free sea cow. Thank you.
Yeah. Then that day comes and you're just in shock.
Like, I got it for free by spending thousands of dollars. I win.
They said it was free. Oh, no. But Alfie ended up building the fire truck part. And then I built the micromanager, which has really cool, the sides on it are pretty neat.
Yeah.
The flip up missiles, and then the barn, the barn part was pretty fun too.
So I did something dumb with the barn thing when I was trying to figure out how to put it into a Ziploc bag for a little bit for storage.
Yeah.
I wasn't disassembling. What I've been doing when I put something away for Lego is I kind of just take the model and put it into a Ziploc bag. And I'm just like, well, if anything falls off, it's in a Ziploc bag, but I'll just leave it in one shape for now. So I take the thing out of the Detolf and I go to put it in the Ziploc bag and I flip it sideways and that dumped out its entire cargo of vegetables.
Oh.
And I was like, well, friggin' okay, whatever. So those just went in separately. But I felt pretty dumb.
But no, it's fun. More Lego. Just enjoyed. And just sat down and did that at one point. Just kind of needed some Zen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got some.
I'm starting to get it into my head to try filming big Lego sets. So I started leaving them alone for a bit.
Yeah.
I need to get that out of my head again. Filming building big Lego sets.
Yeah, I still don't know how. I mean, I liked kind of doing my live build stuff with that, but it just became too much of a got to do this thing that it kind of lost its fun.
I did decide to just, like, I think I mentioned this on the show, I'd gotten the Ultra Agents HQ on sale, and I just took it home and built it while I watched Twin Peaks, and that was real fun. And I did the same thing with Benny's spaceship. I finally just, like, I'm not going to film this, I'm going to enjoy it, and I really enjoyed it.
There's just something about building the big ones on camera where I don't think the logistics work.
Well, you gotta do it. You gotta do it in multiple cuts. If you try streaming building like a $100 Lego set, you need crew. Yeah. You need people there.
I did some of the even bigger ones, like a 4 hour, 5 hour build over a couple nights, and it was job like.
Yeah. Like, you need people there to keep you company. You got to do it in sections. That's why I'm, like, the one I'm going to build, it's, like, I think, I can't remember how many bags it is, but I'm just going to, like, film building a bag at a time. And then just, like, between bags, take breaks, do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But not friggin' live stream it. If I was to live stream something that big in one go, it would have to be for something like Extra Life, which, by the way, is an idea I was thinking about.
Yeah. Well, you could still do something for Extra Life. You can donate to anybody up until December 31st. Hmm. So if maybe you watched some of our live stream or wanted to participate in it or what TFCon Chicago, and maybe you think you didn't put enough money in the till, go find Andy Ruse Gaming Gang members and maybe kick a little donation to somebody. Help them out. Help them. You know, there are still some people that haven't reached their goals would probably appreciate reaching their goal.
That's not what I was getting at, but I'm impressed with you, Aaron. That was pretty smooth. Man.
Or you could still join Andy Ruse Gaming Gang and then do something for it.
Man, this guy, smooth operator.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you want to help out the kids and maybe get yourself a free t-shirt or a gold medal or respect enough to permanently tattoo yourself.
So if you're evil Aaron and you're using these powers for sick kids, what on earth is good Aaron doing?
I'm just saying with his powers? I could be the mirror Aaron. How do you know that the Spock that's in the normal universe is really good?
Because it's
how do you know that the other Spock the isn't universe. The good Spock?
The Alpha universe is all the good people. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
How do you know this is the Alpha universe?
It has to be the Alpha universe. I live in it. That's how things work. I can't be in the Beta universe. That doesn't make any. That's one of my favorite fictional debates. Actually, is whether or not you know you're in the Alpha universe.
Right. Well, and that just comes down to the how do you know that you're not a brain in a jar?
We had that back in the day. We were doing some kind of goofy roleplay plot like that in City of Heroes, and there was this wonderful lengthy like in character argument between these characters of like, all right, look, okay, you're Universe Alpha, we're Universe One, you're Universe Prime. Are we all happy? Everyone's like, yes, we're happy. We can continue now. It's like no matter what universe you're from, you need to. You got to be Alpha or One or Prime or something. That's the main one, because you can't fathom the idea that you are the secondary universe. And I love that idea on a storytelling level. It's just so wonderful and petty.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you do anything else off topic?
No. Got a job interview that got postponed.
Well, who do I have to beat up to get?
Okay. I don't know. I don't want you to go beat up the people that are potentially going to hire me. That would probably work against my interests.
Not if I beat them up enough. Take all their bravery away.
No, that still doesn't work.
We'll see.
What if we beat up the other people in line for the job?
That might work.
Well, that's the warm-up.
That could work.
TJ, did you do anything off-topic?
Yeah, I did some off-topic.
Okay.
Off topic is all over the place.
That's why it's off topic.
Uh-huh. My obsession with PVC interchangeables is continuing. Which is all your fault, by the way.
Well, you know what? I'm glad at least that part's being recognized. Maybe it's a few years delayed, but...
Well, for years people say, what? Evangelist got you into Kamen Rider like he did everyone else, right? No, I did that one to myself. The Glios thing? No. All him.
That's right. And I still haven't even finished reviewing all of the Glios parts. I didn't even get to vinyl. No, I did the armor dock. I didn't get to the rig. That's all I had to do. Patting myself on the back. Just like that.
My collection is growing in random directions as I just grab whatever's cheap on eBay.
Since a lot of that stuff is really durable, are you just getting like a box to throw it in like I do?
I have a plastic bin for holding all spare bits and gubbins and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a building box so I don't lose any parts or switch pins or anything.
Are you using any kind of sectioned tackle box approach yet?
Not as of yet.
Once you have enough switch pins, you're going to want to have a thing to put them in.
Already starting
we're
to
talking about Glios, by the way. Yeah. Welcome back to you thought it was gone. It was just dormant.
No, it's going to continue for a while because I've still got two more on the way.
That's right.
As do you.
I know.
And then there's the stuff I'm eyeing on eBay. It's going to go on for a while because fool that I am is like, hey, I want to do videos for these.
I remember when I was getting GLaDOS on eBay, I had to stop that.
It's like every time you're just like, every time a new one's about to come in, something else comes up that's cheap enough to get.
Well, whenever a new drop happens, people clear out the dupes they got they never built with. And then every now and then, just things like, the only thing that I'll eBay now, I've settled on it, the only thing left that I'm going to eBay readily is the Destroyator Buildmen, because I like those, and I know they're based on Devastator, and so that's kind of neat.
Mm.
But that's it. Like, I was going nuts for the Apocalypse stuff for a while when I started getting into GLaDOS, and I stopped that because I was getting a little bit too crazy.
Mm. No, the stuff I've been grabbing is just, like, random. Like, for, like, $20, I grab, like, four, like, monocolor Phaedons.
Oh, yeah, getting just, like, handfuls of Travelers, that'll happen.
Yeah. Which is nice, it's a fun little color swapping thing.
Yeah.
Currently have a naked Phaedon in front of me, it's normal colors, no panel lines.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And there's random bits, there's other colorways I've been grabbing. Other figures that have been accumulating. About the most interesting thing I grabbed was a Cyclowave.
Oh, I can't remember. Oh no, I do have. That's Cyclowave or Cyclodoc?
Cyclowave.
What does it look like? Is it the purple one?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've got that. Yeah,
it's the one that looks like the Wave guy.
The one that looks like Shockwave.
Yeah.
The Cyclodoc that looks like... Okay, I remember now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I love when they work in the homages.
Yeah, it happens. There's another one of those that's done up to look like Char's Gundam.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen it here and there. That's another one that came up in Acro-EX colors. Which never comes up. I've yet to see that one up.
I need to dig up a thing to make you the thing you will never get that'll make you feel real good. So you just keep talking while I go dig that up.
Are you gonna look for the Jetfire rig?
No. I mean, this is something you will not get.
That did make me cry
because someone has it and there's only one, and so
oh,
you won't.
Oh, brilliant! actually, that works. Okay, now I need to find a picture. Crap. Aaron, talk to yourself.
No, here, I found it. So, this is from Jesse's Colgrim Custom Core. My friend Phil Reed got this one, and I was very jealous for a very long time.
Oh.
This was an all Colgrim parts custom paint and build. This is basically Shockwave. And then, just to rub it in, Phil Reed liked this so much that... a special one was made for him in Shockwave colors, too. So he has both of these. So about half a year to 8 months later, I got enough Colgrims in purple to make my own. It's not, you know, perfect, but it was a chapter I had to close, was having a purple Grimwave build.
Colgrim's one of the ones I've gotten nothing from yet.
Because Jesse's been busy working on like a business he's running right now, so he hasn't been running any new Colgrim parts.
Well, like even resale. Like I'm watching a lot on eBay right now that I'm please stay cheap because I need to get these.
Also, just to rub in the Shockwave thing even more, there's actually an entire Shockwave colorway that came out called Shock Force, which I bought a whole lot of.
Oh, jeez, yeah, I've seen the ones. I've seen similar ones.
Yeah. Oh, as long as you're enjoying it, welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun. I did grab this one. I posted a tweet, everyone saw it.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I almost bought that at New York Comic Con. This is one of Nistuff's customs.
Oh good.
I groped the head a whole lot because I wanted to see how it worked. I was like,
he told me very specifically, don't try turning that head.
Yeah, I think I quietly, surreptitiously was nudging it a bit, and then I was like, yeah, okay, this is fused.
Yeah, it's apparently part resin, part, like, raw sculpting material.
Yeah. No, my DNA is on that toy somewhere.
Oh, wonderful.
I put it in my mouth.
Great, so I can clone you now.
Yep. Go no, for that... it!
No, that's one a friend of mine muled for me. Because I was eyeing that since it first came up in his preview photos. Because like that, everything on that design, everything color wise, molding wise, that just hits me. Needed that. I was gonna take my odds of it showing up later on his site. The day before New York Comic Con, my friend James messages and goes, "Hey, look, I'm going as press. Do you want anything?"
I wonder if I met him. If I didn't, then James, why didn't you say hello? Crying out loud.
Apparently he was dropping. Well, he wasn't name dropping, but he was talking about getting that for his going to the Nice Stuff booth for his friend in Florida.
Yeah, I heard about it from Nice Stuff later, but I was like, where was that guy? I wanted to say hello to him. And, I don't know, suck on all the toys he bought for you.
No, that's what I think is beautiful, and it's cool to have something that I know there's only one of.
Yeah. Like that Shockwave thing I just showed you. There's only one of those, and yeah. We don't have it.
Okay. I'm okay with this.
I actually just finally got a picture of the stuff I got from Nice Stuff's table for a video I just put up. I took a photo with them in shot. Grab a link to that. It's the ones on either side of the turquoise fella. Those are my Nice Stuff customs I bought.
Mm.
And they were cool. I like supporting Nice Stuff at conventions. He has a really good table.
Yeah. I like his work. Let's see. What else came in? I'm finally finding Series 12 Lego figures now.
Oh, I've seen those a bunch, but I'm not at a Lego store, I held off. Because I was like, if I'm going to spend the money on blind bags, then I want to get points for it.
I was kneeling on the floor of a Walmart so long, feeling bags, my feet fell asleep.
Man.
You don't kneel. You need to keep yourself a good two-footed posture.
You gotta take breaks. You gotta walk away and come back.
Don't lock your knees. That's a good way to fall out.
I'm still fairly new at this. I don't know the tips. I don't know the posture.
Don't make eye contact with children either, because that'll get you thrown out the aisle.
Yeah, that's all I need. Someone noticing on security camera.
Oh, I don't get they notice me because they walk past and they just go like, oh, this guy again. First he checks all the codes on the Mega Bloks bags and he comes here and starts groping the Lego. This guy. Oh, what? He's groping the Creo now too? Fine. Whatever.
No, but my fingers continue to be faithful to me. 5 for 5 on the ones I wanted. I can't find a Spooky Girl anywhere. I'm guessing that's probably one of the more popular ones.
When your fingers are faithful enough, you can find a Spooky Girl, let me tell you.
I was looking for a little bear. I couldn't find a little bear.
I got nothing to say about that.
No, but I've got the Space Miner, who is... Neat enough, he's kind of... he feels like, well, we've got these parts, let's see what they look like together. Like, I'm the Wizard, who has a ton of parts... Mm-hmm. The Jester, who's the standout favorite right now. The video game player. And the Pigman, who if you swap in one of the all-black heads from one of the ghost figures, gets extremely creepy.
The Pigman and the Panda Suit Man creep me out already anyway. I don't know.
just all of the costume dudes wig you?
The panda guy especially, because he's like, bah! Like when you look at his face, but... I don't know. Guy in a pig suit just makes me think, like, where's his chainsaw?
Well, get the guy in the pig suit, give him a black head, so it's just one ginormous open maw coming for your soul.
God. Aaron got the gamer at Extra Life.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was topical.
I forget who gave that to me. Sorry, whoever gave that to me.
Now, see, a few series from now, I need a female gamer with player 2 on her shirt.
And a big...
Player A.
A big hashtag.
Player
A,
player alpha, player...
Yeah.
What else? Let's see. I will round off the random stuff. Since I've been accumulating the Glios with the intention of making a video... since Toyfinity decided to make Glios out of an old toy, I decided, hey, I kind of want the old toy.
Oh, I saw you tweeting the picture. Yeah, you got a 100?
Yeah, 100 from the 80s RoboForce line.
How much did that cost? Because I was looking into that, and I was like, hey, it's not too expensive.
Yeah, about 15 shipped.
Yeah, It's one of the nice things. It's one of those 80s lines where it's like, that's kind of neat. And also, if you want to get one, it's not too expensive.
No. Quite painless. Quite easy.
Does the suction cup still work?
Yes, it does.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Cool.
Didn't expect that, actually. I thought all the rubber on these things would just be completely cracked and dead by now.
Nope, he's going to lick it.
Yeah. I'm going to lick 30-year-old rubber. Sure.
Yeah, well,
why not?
I got a story about that. What?
The arm gimmick works still, too.
Awesome.
Which I didn't even know about.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the criticisms of the GLaDOS versions, actually, is that they kind of entirely have lost the suction cup and the arms, which are ostensibly the identity of RoboForce to a lot of people. I don't really care, because I think the look is more important myself, but that's been part of the discussion.
Yeah. I generally don't care. I have some of the most fun I have with GLaDOS toys or with the RoboForce, so yeah, I don't care. Those gimmicks are just like, that is such an 80s toy line.
Well, I know.
Between the suction cup and this air pressure. They call it a crushing arm gimmick.
Yeah.
He's hugging.
There are a lot of people who have been leaning on Mr. John Kent saying, hey, yo, just make a suction cup with a GLaDOS pin on the end and we'll be happy. And I think that'd be pretty freaking funny if he did that. I kind of want that to happen now.
It would be amusing. Okay, I will give it that. It's an interesting figure, though. It's like that's about as cliche 80s robot as it gets, so I kind of see where the appeal comes from.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's about it for the off-topic stuff.
Alrighty.
Chaos is just waiting for it to get here.
Well, I got some constructible stuff, but I haven't constructed it yet, so I can't really speak to that. Oh, you know what? I got my new arms change guys, and I got Zach, and I got the Energy Riders, the Gaim stuff with the transforming armor. So I got the web exclusive stuff. I got the guy with the walnut fists, and I got the Peach Lady, and I got the Cherry Man, and they're pretty cool. Arms Change line is just it's a fun, playable line. It's just a shame that some of it is kind of expensive because it was made to order. But it's a fun toy line. I gotta get a shelf devoted to that stuff. And also, now I gotta try to track down a decent-priced watermelon armor, because that's really the big hole in my collection now. That and Blood Orange, but I'm still waiting for $10 Blood Orange that I think will happen.
I don't think it'll get that low, but I've seen him pretty easily for retail now.
Well, he quote-unquote retailed for 5,000 yen, so he's well below that now.
Well, I mean, standard retail on these things is what, 2,400?
Well, Blood Orange has some extra paint work done. Like, he cost, if you were in Japan and ordered him, he cost, I think, just shy of 4,000 or 5,000 yen. So he has plummeted in value. He has legitimately plummeted. I'm trying to think if I got anything else really worthwhile talking about that's completed. I don't think so. I had to resist a whole bunch of sales mega blocks at Toys R Us because the Call of Duty and Halo stuff is 30% off for the next week. Ooh. And that includes their big signature. So Call of Duty got a big signature hovercraft set that's like 2,100 parts.
Okay.
And it's currently on sale for $130 in tax. For
that's
like over 2,000 parts, and it's fully brick built. Like, there's not very many specialized bits, so you like are brick building the outer inflated part of the hovercraft.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that looks fun, but then I'm like, I just ordered some stuff, and I got it. Not this will go on sale again, surely. It's very tempting though. It's because it's also designed to work with the tank in the Call of Duty line. So when you roll the tank on it, it's got these chains that actually. Have holes. There are mysterious holes on the tank build that are meant for these chains to actually peg in and anchor it to the deck of the hovercraft.
Oh, cool.
And that's kind of neat. If you haven't seen it, like there are a couple videos of it out now. The Call of Duty signature hovercraft, I think, is kind of cool. And it's also fully the Canadian made bricks. It's the near Lego quality bricks. It's the first signature series piece for the Call of Duty franchise that Mega Bloks has done. And just as like a little cherry on top of them really redefining their identity in the in their marketplace. I think it's an impressive looking thing. And it's huge. So I was staring at it on sale, going like, oh man. So I don't know what'll happen yet. But that's about it for me and for us. So I think that's a podcast. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned, as always. We're going to have more on the way. That's episode 330. That's Aaron and TJ. If you haven't, I'm going to say it one more time. Please go listen to Aaron and my own's interview we recorded with Rick Alvarez of Play With This 2. It answers several questions. It has some topics you might find interesting. I think that someone did a kind of bullet-pointed transcript of the whole thing, which I certainly wasn't going to do, so hooray. But have a listen to it. You can also hear the candor. You can hear the tone in Rick Alvarez's voice to determine how you feel about what he's saying. Aaron Archer comes up. Some original ideas that were nixed for Age of Extinction come up. Aaron is completely loopy from sleep deprivation during it.
Yeah, I definitely made that realization.
I was so happy when you identified that.
Yeah, I mean, I still really think the octopus die cut box sounds like a neat idea, but for whatever in the moment, that was like the best idea.
Oh, when we were recording, I was kind of eyeing you a bit because you were getting so excited about the weirdest stuff.
Yeah,
you were like, I wasn't sure about this, but the way you're saying it, I'll buy three right now. It's like, oh no. Yeah.
Okay, now I have to hear this.
It's why sleep deprivation is such a good torture method.
And it was right after our live panel, too, so you were at the very peak of tire. You were digesting a burger.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Anyway, that's all for us, so we'll see you again next week. And by see you, I mean you're going to listen to us. Ciao.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.